Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. This week, an interview with well-known counselor educator Dr. Sam Gladding, Department Chairperson of the Department of Counseling and Associate Provost at Wake Forest University. Dr. Gladding spoke with contributing editor Dr. Jeffrey Frieden while attending the 2006 American Counseling Association World Conference in Montreal.
Good afternoon. Today, we're talking with Dr. Sam Gladding. My name is Dr. Jeffrey Frieden. We're at the ACA conference in Montreal, and Dr. Gladding's been kind enough to visit with us for a little bit today. Most of you know Dr. Gladding. Dr. Gladding is a professor and chair of counseling at Wake Forest University. He's been there since 1990, past president of the American Counseling Association. He's the author of dozens or more books and 67 articles he's had published. Good afternoon. How are you doing today, Dr. Gladding?
I'm doing fine, Jeffrey. Good to see you.
Yes. Dr. Gladding, let me ask you a couple of questions. One thing that me and my friends and other people have asked ourselves is, as students, we've read a lot of your work. And writing is always something that has been a challenge for me as a student, and now as a doctor, my writing, it becomes more important. Writing to me has seemed to come in two blocks. There's ideas or creativity, and then the actual putting the words down on paper. When you teach new counselors, do you teach them your style of writing, or do you teach them a standard style that's out there?
Well, one of the things I do is try to teach them APA style first, just because that's how we write professionally.
And if we want to pass the class, we have to learn how to write that way also.
That's exactly right. And then I try to encourage them to write in their own style. Gilbert Wren used to talk about writing in a first person. I'm not sure we can do that as much as we could when he was writing. But I try to teach them to write the way that is most comfortable for them. I play with writing. That's how I write so much. I enjoy it. My endorphins kick in after a little time on the keyboard. And I just try to make it fun and encourage them to write what they know and to write in a way that's comfortable for them.
If it's fun and comfortable, it will come more freely then.
That's true. If you're having fun with it, you get to be a little more prolific than if it's drudgery or hard work.
Well, I will go along with that. When it's fun, it's a lot better. Writing has been suggested maybe that it's a discipline. Does writing get better with practice?
Well, I think like anything, it's practice, practice, practice. You get better, better, better. I found the first time I wrote an article that it took me much longer than it does now. I used to have a friend in Connecticut, I'll let that friend remain anonymous, who, after writing so much, would say to me, "Wow, you know, I can write an article in a weekend." Well, I can't do that, but I do think that I have more fun with it. I can produce works or manuscripts much more quickly now than I used to be able to. And I encourage my students and others that I know to write a little something every day, and that way they get better and better and better
at doing it.
Yeah.
Like, much like my math, when I had to do it, practice makes perfect.
That's true.
I'm a fairly new writer. I'm writing now for some publications, and I'm looking for that hook that's going to make me the great author or the person that everybody wants to read about. What, not knowing anything about me, but knowing that I'm in the field of counseling like yourself, what advice would you give me to focus on as I write?
Well, I would say focus on those areas that you know best. And of course, counseling has multiple areas. I would also say that at least for me, and I don't know that this might be true for you, there's a certain rhythm to the writing And so I'll kind of repeat sentences in my head or as I put them on paper. And sometimes when I'll put them on paper, I'll read them back and see if there's a real flow to it and then just let it go from there. But write about what you know, what you have a passion for. If there's emotion behind the manuscript, then it's usually going to be a very good manuscript or a very bad manuscript. I'll say one or the other.
But it'll be about what you want it to be.
That's right.
So what would drive it would be more of your passion and your concern for the subject would drive the writing.
That's right. Yeah.
Is creativity a learned technique or you're born with it? Either you have it or you don't.
I think creativity, just like leadership and just like writing, can be learned. I think it's hard to do at times, especially if you don't have training in it or someone who has kind of given you some instruction on ways to be creative. One of those things, and as you probably know that I do, is kind of keep a mnemonic device in my mind called SCAMPER, and it stands for substitute, combine, adopt, modify, put to other uses, eliminate, or reverse or rearrange. And so when I'm wanting to be creative, I think SCAMPER. And a lot of times things happen because I'm playing with what's out there and I'm rearranging it, putting it to other uses, substituting, combining, eliminating, and it just seems to work. For instance, the person or client who might be obsessing about something, if they modify what they're doing, either exaggerate it or eliminate it, all the better for them. They're going to be much more mentally healthy.
Okay. Is SCAMPER in any of your textbooks that you've written? Is that?
It is. It is in the, if I can put a plug in for the American Counseling Association book in its third edition at this point, which is called Counseling is an Art, the Creative Arts in Counseling.
That's that's a new edition you're out, and you're signing it this week, aren't you?
That's right. It's a 2005 edition.
Okay. Is it any earlier edition, SCAMPER?
It's not.
Well, then that's the one I read, then that's why I don't know what that's
right.
about. When you're thinking, well, let's back this up. When you write an article or a book, do you start with the thought and say, you know, this would make a good article, or do you say, I haven't published in a while, I need to write an article? Or likewise with a book, is there a demand for a book, you need to go out and write it? Or is it you have an idea first and then the book comes afterwards?
Well, usually there's an idea and it kind of circulates in my mind. I'll be with a client or I'll be with a colleague or I'll be somewhere else and someone will say something and it'll be something that makes me think, oh, maybe there's an article there, maybe there's even a book there, but usually it's something someone says or something that I read or some encounter that I come away with a feeling or a thought and then pursue it. And some of those thoughts and feelings lead somewhere and others are kind of dead-end trails, and I think it's kind of like Kenny Rogers used to sing about, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. And if it's really a bad idea, let it go. And if it's really going somewhere, go with it.
Do you cite Kenny Rogers in any of your books? Is that a legitimate citation? Or you...
I don't cite Kenny okay. Rogers, but I think about it.
General
and someday I may.
Okay. Here's a little a personal thing here. What is your favorite book or article you think you've ever written? Your favorite one.
Wow. Well, I guess they're kind of like your children. You love them all, but some you love maybe a little more than others. I think the book that I really have enjoyed doing the most has been on counseling and the creative arts. But my second favorite, since I've already mentioned that first one, would be kind of a tie between the family therapy and the group work. I've loved both of those because they're so much fun. It's so much fun to work with groups, and it's so invigorating to work with families. that
so they both reflect things that you really like, and therefore, once again, what you like drives the book or the article.
Yeah, and you know, I used to when the what's now the Journal for Counseling and Development used to accept poetry, I used to submit that and published about 40 poems in those journals long ago and far away, BC, before computers. And I used to really, I love many of those that are ancient history.
As a former student, which thank goodness I've gotten out of that phase of my life, but as a student, I've read your books. Your books are part of textbooks that are common throughout the counseling field. What book, and I add in their article as well, do you think is the most important of your writing? It's the one that's contributed most to the field of counseling that counselors use today.
I think it's probably the first book that I wrote, which is Counseling, a Comprehensive Profession, which is now in its zillionth edition or whatever. But I think the reason that's the most important is that it's an orientation to the field. And I think if you're not well grounded in where we've been and what we do as counselors, then you're not going to do as well. And if you don't realize the broad scope of counseling, or even the kaleidoscope that is counseling in terms of so many things coming together, then it's, if I can quote Linda Ronstadt, it's no good, it's no good, it's no good, baby, it's no good.
Now, that's two quotes from musicians. Is there music? I know there's poetry and there's articles and textbooks. Is there music in your writing that I've not heard of, or that ACA has not heard of yet? Are you longing to be published as a musician now, or a singer?
Well, I often talk to my wife about maybe when we retire, going to Nashville and writing country music, but I don't think I'm probably going to do that. But I love music. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I love lyrics, and I just I think sometimes lyrical music can say things that we ourselves want to express, but we didn't have the words for. So they give us a way to enter people's lives or say what we mean and to make meaning in the world.
So music would be one more way of communicating thoughts and ideas and feelings amongst each other.
Right. It's like, Gloria Estefan, where she has the lyric, I want to say I love you, but the words get in the way. Well, many times the words are the way into saying I love you, or I like you, or I have this difficulty, and can we talk?
Can we talk? The creative arts.
Yeah.
You have a background in divinity, if I recall correctly. I don't have this in front of me.
That's true.
A master's.
That's true.
In divinity from
Yale Divinity School.
Yale Divinity School. So it's pretty important degree. The only way I got to Yale is, you know, I drove by once and I waved at the building. So I'm impressed with that degree. Has your degree and your understanding of divinity or spirituality affect you in your writing today?
Well, I think people are spiritual. I mean, they're multidimensional, and certainly physical, mental, emotional. Spiritual is one aspect of most people's lives, whether they deny it or whether they affirm it. And so I'm always looking at people from those dimensions, and I think my divinity degree helps me maybe look a little closer than I might otherwise, or gives me some insight into how people are struggling or how they're growing in that aspect of their lives. I think people without divinity degrees, by the way, who are counselors, can do that same thing. But I value that in my life, and I'm glad that I have it.
Okay. Let me change the subject for a second. Now we'll go back to a little bit about American Counseling Association. As president of such a large organization that represents so many different types of counselors, it's a lot of responsibility. Multitasking is something you have to do a lot. It's kind of a generic question, but do you feel that the American Counseling Association is better now since you've left the president, you've made your mark? Is it better now than it was before you went in as president?
Well, I think there are people, if I can be just a little flippant, I think there are people who would say, it's really good, I've left, but and that it's much better because I have. But in all seriousness, I think the American Counseling Association is getting better every year. And part of that reason is ownership of the association by its members, not necessarily who's leading the band. I hope I contributed, like I think others who get to be president of the association hope that they contribute. My focus, as you know, was on creativity and that aspect of counseling that I think is positive in both the association and in society in terms of helping people do things that they did not envision before, and that through counseling they get to see and consequently be by engaging in counseling. So I think American Counseling Association is getting better, and I hope I contributed something that will stay in the sense of people thinking, you know, if I'm going to be a good counselor, I can't just do it by the numbers. I need to be innovative. I need to be creative. I need to be divergent in my thinking. And I hope that's one of the things that I left the association kind of as a gift.
If you were to meet a new graduate student from, and you know, you have, other than your own students,
sure,
you see a new graduate, master's degree, getting ready to go out in the field and share his or her knowledge with other counselors, and they're not a member of the American Counseling Association, and you had a chance to meet them, mm-hmm, what would you tell them to convince them to join ACA?
Well, I guess one of those things, if I can harp back to the divinity degree, is I would say to them, in essence, not by bread alone. That is, and not going alone in this world in terms of being a counselor. It's not a very enriching way to live one's life. I think the American Counseling Association provides a lot of different publications and resources that counselors can use in a very practical way, from the Journal of Counseling Development to Counseling Today to courses online to affiliation with other people who share a common concern and a knowledge base. And so if you mix and mingle, it's kind of like wearing clothes. You get to have a different outlook and a different style than you may have if you just tried to be a counselor without being a member of an association.
That's a good point. I'm planning to move that out. I always wondered sometimes in convincing people to join the American Counseling Association how important it is. I think that's a good point, the fact that you say that going in alone, you're not going to make it. United you stand, divided you fall. There's more strength in numbers and a common cause, and puts everybody on the same page. So I like that a lot.
Thanks.
Where do you see the American Counseling Association in 20 years?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I'm doing a futures group for the American Counseling Association now called 2020, and it's where counseling, we hope, have a vision of where it will be in the year 2020, as well as a clear vision of getting a clearer vision of where counseling should be. I think counseling, again, if I can quote a lyric, Aretha Franklin, is going to have more R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect, than it has ever had. I think if we are proactive, if we work together, that it's going to be seen as a preferred way of delivering services to people, because I think it focuses on prevention, and I think it focuses on wellness as well as remediation. And it's in the schools, and it's in rehabilitation, and it's in spiritual places, if you will, and it's literally in community mental health. It's all over the place and found in so many diverse settings that I think it's going to be stronger, and I think it's going to be more utilized and more respected in the year 2020 than it is now.
Well, timing was good with that question then. I mean, a couple of, these are esoteric or off-the-wall questions. And this was suggested by somebody else, which would be a little different than counseling questions all the time.
That's okay.
If you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
Well, I guess if I could be any animal, I'd probably go into the canine family. I love dogs. I've had a dog all my life. They're unconditionally give you unconditional positive regard, as Carl Rogers would say. They are warm. They are usually kind, and yet they know how to take care of themselves in many ways, and will convey to you things that they want from you, and yet they're willing to give you all sorts of good things and ask nothing in return.
You'd be a good puppy dog then if you were a dog.
Okay.
You're just the kind of dog I would like to have.
Thanks.
Okay, here's one last question.
Sure.
It's a good question. Actually, we've used that sometimes in group counseling. On your tombstone, not that anything's bad going to happen to you, mm-hmm. but on your tombstone, what would it say?
Well, I think of a tombstone that the theologian John Claypool once conveyed in a message that he delivered. And that was a tombstone that he observed in an old English graveyard. And it basically said that in the worst of times, he did the best of things. And I hope that in any time that I could do the best of things. And the other is just additional stuff or fluff, if you will.
Well, see, now I think now you're adding more than it should be on there. Tombstone's got about 5 or 6 words.
Okay.
So I know we're talking general, and I'm asking how you feel about the tombstone.
Okay.
And this makes it difficult. I know it's a tough question.
That's
because
okay.
Basically you're summarizing everything you've done in one sentence. But if you had to put it for your – and I'm looking for your own personal perspective.
Sure.
So your tombstone would say Sam Gladding.
Well, I think it would just have some words with commas, and I would hope they would be words that had good father, good husband, dedicated to his profession and people.
I like that. If I go first, can I have that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's all yours.
Dr. Gladding, thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeffrey Frieden interviewing Dr. Sam Gladding. The notes from today's podcast will be listed on the website. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Dr. Sam Gladding, our guest today on Counselor Audio Source, interviewed by Dr. Jeffrey Frieden at the 2006 ACA World Conference in Montreal. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.